the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us today. We are conducting a pre-recorded interview with a friend of our show, Jose Gonzalez, who is a counselor for people. And I asked him to come back on the show to talk about the anxiety that we're experiencing about the Trump Nation. So, Jose, thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again. And just to correct you, I am a marriage and family counselor, although that does incorporate just plain counseling. Everybody, you know.
So you specialize in marriage and family counseling.
Right, right. Specifically, I call myself a relationship enhancement coach because that kind of encompasses all relationships.
Okay.
And when people think about a relationship, they generally think about a romantic relationship, but everything
is
a relationship. Yeah, even the topic of today, the anxiety that we are feeling because of our relationship with Donald Trump, the
right.
President of the United States. You know, we have a relationship with him and his administration, whether we like it or not. You know, what they do affects us, and what we do supposed to affect them in their policy making, you know, but the cause for our anxiety is that we feel they aren't listening, especially in, and I'm not going to get into the political aspects of it except to emphasize its nature, you know, the division as far as anxiety and stress and other factors that are affecting so many Americans. And historically, this is not a unique situation. It's certainly not the first time.
Jose, are you there? There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll keep talking unless you tell me, hey, we lost connection.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. It's certainly not the first time that a president of the United States of America has taken office with the minority vote of the popular vote. As a matter of fact, you know, I said I wasn't going to get into the politics of it, but it's the reason I stopped voting when in a presidential election my man won, but should not have won. And I realized, wow, my vote really doesn't count. And locally, I say it does. When you vote in your you know, municipal elections.
When did
stuff.
You stop voting? Because it spaced out on us there. When did you stop voting?
During the Bush-Gore election.
Yeah.
You know,
that was their plan, to get people to stop voting. I don't know if you saw my Facebook page, but yesterday I posted a picture. My neighbor's child, who is 8 years old, came home and said, "You know, Mommy, Donald Trump's a really grumpy man. They don't have a television and they don't talk politics." She's like, "Well, why, instead of thinking about President Trump, what he's not doing right, like, why don't you think, you know, tell me something that you've heard positive about him?" And the little girl just looked at her and went away, and she came back and drew this picture of Donald Trump with a big mouth open, just spewing out this, she painted his mouth's area blue. The inner, it was so, you have to look, I'll post a link, it's on my Instagram and Facebook page, but... You know, this is what I mean. Like, this is deep when a little girl who doesn't know Donald Trump, doesn't understand the politics, whose parents don't do it, she's out at school in the world getting exposed to conversations about him and
right.
having anxiety about him.
Right. Exactly. Now, remember when you first approached me and said, "Hey, we need to do a show about anxiety because it's it's getting out there," and I said, "Whoa, you want to do, you know, a 1 hour show on anxiety? That's not going to be enough." You know, anxiety is a big topic, and it's a great topic to discuss, but I'm tempted to pelt the listeners with information trying to make them experts on the topic of anxiety and stress and so on and so forth, right? Which is, you know, it's informational, but doesn't really help because anxiety.
What I really meant was, like, how do we cope with it? Because the fact is that, like, you know, I personally, because I'm constantly processing through the course of this radio show, and I go to school, so I'm constantly, I think when people feel a lot of anxiety and stress is when they feel like they have no control. That's when they get freaked out. The more in control you feel in your life, the less anxiety you have. And so this is where I think that maybe what I want to talk to you about is, like, having people at first, A, admit they're having anxiety, and then examine some of the causes of, I mean, I don't know, like, I just think that there's this over, and then on the other side of the fence, there's anxiety from the, I interviewed Sean from SGT Report. I think his jaw dropped when I honestly responded to him about Trump. I mean, I don't believe that Trump is a victim of the deep state. I don't think he's going after Pedogate. I don't think he has anything to do with this Anthony Weiner conviction. I think that Trump is actually part of the deep state. So, but there's people on the other side having anxiety, feeling like their best chance at liberty is about to disappear. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, yeah, well, you hit the nail right on the head, Lonnie, in that recently, and it could be because of our improved technology, and we're able to communicate these feelings, whereas, you know, 50 years ago, we would complain and only our household members would hear, or our friends or the people at work, right? And now we can complain online, and, you know, we can go to websites and be one of the millions of people that are, you know, expressing a certain opinion. And so now the information is getting out there easily. You know, where before, you know, we'd write a letter to our congressman, maybe, right? Maybe we would write a letter to our congressman.
Yeah.
If we did write a letter, maybe we would mail it off, right? You know, maybe if we mailed it off, the post office would deliver it. Maybe if the post office delivered it, the congressman's staff would actually read the letter, and maybe, you know, if the congressman's staff read the letter, the staff would answer us. Well, we always will get a generic answer. I don't know if you come from the generation that actually ever wrote your congressman, because I did, right?
I did too.
And we would get just kind of a form letter, right? It was always and maybe on a rare occasion the congressman would actually come or answer you know, your letter or give you a phone call, maybe.
Never. That would never happen. I mean, honestly, this is the difference between that then and now where we have this slacktivism, right? People can send emails, but, you know, it goes click. I mean, the algorithms, I don't think they probably even read their emails. I think the algorithms tell them what's in the letter and they send out the appropriate form letter.
Right, right. And it's always, thank you for your concern, blah, 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 blah. You know, we encourage participation, yada, yada, yada. You know, and look forward to and so on and so forth. And then they put you on a mailing list and you start getting updates from your congressman.
Not just a mailing list. You get on a bad list, a track list with the FBI. You know what I mean? Like, I personally, when I got harassed by Mike Pence's office when they falsely accused me of threatening to murder their staff, and I wrote a letter to Barack Obama, all of my congressmen, both my senators, every elected official I had down the line, do you know I did not get one response?
Oh, really? Oh, well, I didn't know you had personal issues with Pence. I mean, I knew you were always, you know, speaking up about him and stuff, but this is the first time.
I felt the long arm of intimidation. I know what this guy, now, it wasn't him doing it, it was his staffer doing it, but, like, that must be their culture inside that office, where if I called up his office to say, I disagree with your vote not to give the unemployed people benefits through January so they can make it through Christmas. Because it was September vote, and the Republicans, I saw John Boehner and Mike Pence standing in front of a microphone going, we're being fiscally conservative. We're not going to give those freeloaders any more money. And I'm like, what? It's Christmas time. These people are the most cruel people in the world. They love to do it. Everything comes around Christmas time, and they love cutting him off. So I called him up, and he called the Capitol Police and said I threatened to murder his staff.
Now,
that's my pants. Now, was I afraid? Yeah, I didn't get involved in anything for a super long time. That was 2009.
Okay, now let's back up so we can get back on topic. Why did you call Pence? Why did you call his office?
I called Pence and Boehner. Why? Because they stood in front of a microphone and were boasting about harming people this coming winter.
And how did that affect you personally?
Those are like my brothers and sisters. Those are our Americans. We've been paying their unemployment for the last 16 months or 17 months at that point. Like, what's an extra 3 months on our budget? In fact, that was my message. As an American, I do not mind paying a little bit of extra taxes if you guys have to bump it up, because you know what? This is a critical time. Christmas, it's a cold winter. Somebody might die or freeze to death.
You see, now, your original response to my question was perfect. Your voice went high pitch, right? You, the answer was
I'm going to stop talking to you, Jose. Okay.
Your facts. But I heard because I was anxious. I felt the anxiety of my brothers and sisters, and I had to do something. And this is why anxiety is such a tough topic, because it can be a good thing. We need anxiety in our life. It's like food. It's something that if you do it right, it helps you survive, and if you do it wrong, it can kill you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't just do away with anxiety, despite the zeitgeist that came on through the late 1940s, 1950s, certainly the 60s, boy, by golly, the drug culture that we got into. And I'm not talking about the what is called the illegal drug culture. I'm talking about pharmaceuticals, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Marilyn Monroe was going through some psychological issues and thought, all I have to do is take this pill and everything is going to be okay. And that was the attitude of Americans. Sure, go ahead and eat bacon. Go ahead and eat, you know, cheese. Go ahead and eat hamburgers and fried foods. If you get heartburn, you take this pill,
right,
and everything's okay. Now, this is the mentality that we've come to, and we've actually gotten to the point to where we have, unfortunately, we were the guinea pigs for it, you know, the people. So pharmaceuticals have gotten to the point to where they can actually give us a pill to make us relax, to make all the anxiety go away. Well, they did it back in the 50s, but it was killing us back in the 50s and the 60s, right? You know, people complain about other people who get high, you know, they call them recreational drugs, right? But from a psychology perspective, we consider it self-medication. Alcoholics, self-medication, right? They're dealing with stress and dealing with it in a way that is killing them. Whereas there are healthy ways to do it. And I think for the rest of the show, I'm going to be giving a lot of examples of how stress can be good, because you can get, you know, we've had people have heart attacks. You can get anxiety when you win the lottery. We've had people, you know, it's a six number lottery and they're on the fourth number and their heart is beating, they're in this state of anxiety. The fifth number comes up and it matches and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to win. And then the sixth number comes up and they end up in the hospital because they had a stroke or a heart attack because the good news was more than they could handle because they didn't have the proper tools to use what their body was giving them to deal with. Now, you've heard of the fight or flight syndrome, where your body undergoes certain things, and then you were either, you know, you're walking along the, or our ancestors are walking along, you know, a path, and they come up to a lion or a tiger or a bear or a snake or something, and your body goes through this harmonic and chemical change that makes you either run like hell or fight whatever it is that you've encountered. Then, through the years, somebody added another F word, which was faint, right? Mm-hmm. Fight, flight, or faint. And that's kind of the way it is, except until Jose Gonzalez comes along and does a radio show with Lonnie Clark and says, I'm going to add another F word. It's fight, flight, faint, or fiesta, right? Because these hormones that are released by, you know, I'm not going to get into all the science of it. In the first place, I actually have websites up here on my computer screen so I could, you know, shoot out all of the big words that are going to go in one ear and not the other, because that's not important. The name of the hormones and the parts of the body that release them into your body. But you get hormones released in your body so that you have to do whatever it is, whether it's fight, flight, faint, or fiesta, you actually have to do something physically to get those hormones out of your body. Otherwise...
Uh-huh. And that actually is the same thing true with, like, junk food or sugar. Any of those things give your body an immediate fix. You know, people go, you know, they get like it's almost like a physical relief when you see someone like, I knew this kid, like he had to go to Burger King. You know what I mean? Like when he went to Burger King, as soon as he had his Burger King, he calmed down. Like, dude,
well,
it was the fat or something. That's what I thought. Like there was something, I told him, you know, there's something metabolically wrong in his body. He really literally, his behavior changed. You know what I mean? He calmed down.
Well, it's the evolution of the societal human. Back the scenario that I established, you know, our ancestors were walking down a path and were encountered by, you know, a lion, a tiger, a bear, or a snake or something. Okay. Well, we've pretty much done away with that scenario. I mean, we can walk down the street now and let's say you, a woman, you're walking down the street. And some guy, you know, whistles at you and says, you know, hey, lady, you know, you got a fine butt or something. And it releases these hormones in you because you're feeling threatened. right? Mm-hmm. But we're told in society that even though that man said something derogatory to you, you're forbidden from beating him up. So we have to scratch fight out of there, right? If you faint, you're probably going to wake up in a worse condition. So we can't, we have to scratch that F out of there, right? Now, flight, if you run away, you might actually attract more attention to yourself, which we're kind of embarrassed about. And you're certainly not going to start dancing there and say, ooh, you think my butt's big, or whatever. So our society has prevented us from doing the physical things that involve the four F's. And so we maintain these hormones and these chemicals in our body without releasing them. When I was managing a pawn shop in Laredo, Texas, I had this guy. I actually took over a pawn shop from a previous manager. So I was dealing with his staff, and his staff naturally resented that I replaced their boss. And so there was a lot of animosity going on. And every time one of the guys would disagree with me, I would put my arm up on the counter, and we would arm wrestle, right? Because they were going through this harmonic change in their body, which was going to make them sick. And I didn't want my staff to be sick. So I would challenge them to an arm wrestling match, and we would arm wrestle until we were laughing. Okay? Now, laughing is part of the fiesta. Laughing, I'm sure you've heard, humor is the best medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys was huge. He beat me every time, but we would still laugh about it afterwards. So even the ladies, when they disagreed with me, we would arm wrestle, and it would turn into, a happier situation. And we had, I think, a very healthy relationship because we would arm wrestle instead of hold a grudge. Because when the boss says something and you argue mm-hmm. with him, you're risking getting fired. But if the boss puts his arm out there and we can arm wrestle about it, even if you lose, and by the way, I have weak arms. I was always losing. right. What can I say? I'm a chess player, right? I wasn't doing this to beat them. I was doing this to let them get that aggression out. And because that was my interpretation of what needed to be done for these guys to deal with the stress they were going through, the anxiety they were going through in dealing with a new boss. I happen to think I was very successful. The people still keep in touch with me, even though I left, when did I leave? Left in 1993 or 94. Imagine, these people are still now they're dropping me emails and messaging me on Facebook, because I wanted to be that good boss. Now, work tends to be the biggest source of stress that we have in our lives. Of course, with some exceptions, because like you're going to school, you get stressed out. Now, stress is good because when you feel stress, you have to perform to get rid of that stress. And that's why I said, hey, that's why you call, the Pence's office. And, that's why you get up and go to work. Because if you don't go to work, you don't eat. You don't pay your bills. You won't have electricity. That's stressful.
That's true. It's actually really true. Like people say, well, why do you work so much? I'm like, because I don't have a silver spoon in my mouth and I want to go to school.
Right. I mean?
Like I have my wants. For a long time, I ignored my want of going to school. A long time. I did not start school till I was 57. But again, you're correct on that. The anxiety got so intense and I was like, I could not get happy. So that was like the only thing that I could think of. And actually, it does make me happy. It's what my wants were. So that you're right in that. It's the anxiety that motivates you to improve your life or to make changes.
Right. Or to do what is necessary. Now, unfortunately, because we're still in society, you can't go out there and beat up.
I don't want to beat anybody up. That's not, no thanks.
Well,
I'd rather run away. Like, I don't want to, I mean, honestly, as a female, all of that has happened to me in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a woman. Every woman is accosted. And I actually believe that every woman has been sexually assaulted or, you know, at the minimum, have had to fight her way out of something.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We live in a society where we pretend like it's all okay, but that's another anxiety, right? So, like, that's the whole
right. The
whole thing about even talking about it. People are like, well, you just want to make me anxious.
Right.
No,
right.
It's like, I want to discuss it so we can, like, get over it. You know what I mean?
And again, you fall right into the social construct of, I don't want to be violent, but that's, I want to run away. But you don't really run away. You just kind of get away from it, but you have to do something. You have to go arm wrestle somebody, do some push-ups, do some pull-ups, jog, kickbox, something, you know, ride a bicycle up a hill and grunt and scream while you're doing it. You have to get that out of your system. All these animalistic.
Yeah, but that's just stuff that you do. I'm not going to go do that things out of reaction to some jerk on the street. I'm going to do it because I want to do that.
Like, right.
You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
Well, for your own good. For your own. You see, but you have to realize that jerk on the street
fueled that need to go do that intense exercise. I
right.
get what you're saying.
Exactly.
You may not be conscious of it, but that thing that you let go of when you exercise and you get a good workout, when you, afterwards you go, wow, that feels really great. That's that release of all that prior anxiety.
And it's all, and it also happens to be exercise, something that our society has gotten us away from. We haven't worked for the last 500 years to figure out how we can work harder. We've figured out ways to make less physical our lives, right? Make our lives less physical. You know, we have chairs to sit down. You know, before we had to sit on a big old chopped up tree stump, you know, that we had to slide on the dirt, you know, in order to get under the table, which was another piece of chopped up, you know, so it was work. Living was work. This morning before I, you know, I got ready for this interview, I went out into my garden. Right, I went out into my garden, and my garden is great. I live in South Texas, so my garden is already, you know, producing way too many tomatoes, and my corn is already about ready to harvest. So I really don't need to do anything, but I still grab my hoe, and I go out there, and I dig in the dirt. You know, I go out there, and I, you know, chop some weeds, and I, you know, I get some work done. And my biggest complaint about this time of year in my garden is that there's really nothing to do. But I like going out there and doing it because I know that this is how I'm finding my peace, right? I have a silly rule about whenever I drop something, I have to do at least 3 push-ups. In the old days, I used to do 10, right? But these days, I drop something, I'm like, oh, darn. And I reach down to pick it up, and then I assume the position and
Lord,
and pump
that's
up
a pretty strict three, discipline, Jose. That's three, an interesting window into your own character.
Well, you have to know this. Well, you don't have to know this about me. But I'm a counselor. I'm, like, sucking up all these toxins from And I don't have a counselor to go to. I used to have somebody, but they moved away. So now I have to deal with these things. And then I realized if I talk to somebody who's not a counselor, they may lack the ability to deal with this crap that I'm giving them now.
Right.
You know, so I go into my garden. You know, I sunbathe daily whenever we have sun. And one thing we have plenty of in South Texas is sun. And what I do is I sunbathe 5 minutes on each side, right side, left side, front side, back side, right? And every time I flip, I do at least 3 push-ups, right? It's
how many do a lot of push-ups in a day? How many push-ups in a day do you do? I mean, we're getting off topic here, but so this is really about like what you're suggesting is that people put routines in that benefit themselves,
right?
Them in throughout the day.
Exactly. Now, it would be perfect if you go out there and have an argument with your neighbor and you just grab that neighbor and pull him over the fence and and pummel him, and you and he fight and get it all
you
out sure, until you're both exhausted.
Who do you want to fight with, Jose? You've mentioned this quite a bit. Like, who is it that's bothering you now? Turn no. the tables here. I'm sorry. Let's get back on topic about the anxiety.
I should have gone with the boss. Yeah. Pull your boss, okay? But we can't do that. Society forbids us from doing that. So, but we have to release all this. I'll just call it energy, right? You know? It's actually a hormone. It's actually like three or four hormones we know of.
I understand that, but let me just give you an example. I know someone who is having a very serious time. My niece had a heart attack, and he had heart surgery. And she's been very anxious. She has two smaller children. You know, suggesting that she's working. She walks everywhere. She's at a high anxiety level just because she's going through a lot of stress. And then this business with Trump, frankly, has really just like, she's called me up a couple times. She's like, do you think it's all over? And I'm like, no, he doesn't have that much. You know, the thing is, all of it, we have to remember, A, it's only 4 years. And we've seen this before in Chile. They can knock the block off, but people will regather and regroup and start to take it back. The only difference is we'll have a higher mountain to climb once we throw those animals out of the government.
Right. Well, you're kind of trying to establish a good guy, bad guy scenario, and that helps. That helps as far as anxiety is concerned. It helps you to think you're in the right. Okay. Now, but if you think about it from just two different sides. You know, these guys have their own agenda. I don't think they want to kill people by depriving them of health care.
They have complete disregard for human life. Not that they want to intentionally kill them, but this is the fact. What they're imposing is Alan Greenspan classic neoliberal agenda. It is outlined by gutting government institutions, privatizing everything, tax cuts for the rich, and making the military strong because the people are going to object and you have to have military force to enforce it. They did this in Chile. And what happens is it causes abject poverty and, yes, lots of death. So.
Right. Okay, good. Hold on. Now, what are you going to do about the anxiety that you're feeling because of their actions? Because whether you think you're in the right or you think they're in the wrong, it's affecting you. Well, yeah, I didn't want to start you on another tangent because if I said they were right, you'd be arguing with me about the politics.
Well, they think they're right. I certainly get it. I understand their argument. They certainly get it. They think that I'm way off base, that this whole thing needs to be reestablished. We need to reset the button. And they can do it right this time because they saw what happened in Chile. Yes, they have seen the mistakes, and they're going to do it better because this is America, and they're going to make America great again. I have heard all of that.
Now, what are you going to do? And I'm speaking not to you, Lonnie, but to the listener, right? What are you going to do to deal with this stress? Now, there's several ways you can deal with this stress. I already said the human body is designed to do these four F's, right? And I think we really need to get back into that because the last I checked, the population of people in the United States of America, men were over 70% of the population of men in the United States of America are overweight. That kind of tells me that there's very little exercise being done. Now, exercise is not necessarily what you do to lose weight, but it's an indicator. When you're overweight, you're less likely to do exercise, right? Women are a little bit less, but they're still in the mid to upper 60%. Okay, we need to get physical for our psychological health. Psychological being how we are affected by anxiety. And anxiety also affects us physiologically. It makes us sick. Mm-hmm. Anxiety actually makes us sick. It has been determined that these hormones that I have yet to mention reduce our body's ability to fend off infection. Okay? It reduces our immune system. And so we are the sickest nation in the world, even though we boast that we have the best medical system in the world. Not the best healthcare, because Trump already admitted that, right? Not the best healthcare, but we have the best medical system, and yet we are the sickest nation in the world because we are less active. Even our military, was it you that told me that, and I researched it and found out that it was true. We people tout, President Roosevelt as being like, such a great guy. He gave us the New Deal. He's kind of brought socialism into the United States where we started taking care of people who couldn't take care of themselves for whatever reason, blah, blah, blah. And then I think it was you that said he started these healthcare programs because the men in the nation.
The work programs, that's right, the work program.
Yeah, the work programs, because the men were too weak to be good soldiers.
They had rickets. Many of them had rickets from being starved as children, for not having enough food as children.
Right, right. So, but, and it was a good agenda. Well, it was a good means with a bad end. The reason they wanted us to get back on our feet and be healthy was so that we would be good soldiers. And look at the soldiers we have become in this nation. We celebrate war.
Right.
We don't celebrate victories. We celebrate war. We have yet to get as a society, as a collective, and say, hey, we should not have been in Vietnam. What we've done instead is we've gone back and said, you know what? We were wrong for chastising the soldiers. It was not his fault. Now we're going to thank the Vietnam soldiers for going there, even though we shouldn't have been there. But we're going to thank the soldiers for their service. Okay. Now that's one of the things that makes me anxious, right? Because I see where we're going as a society, and it's like, or where we have come as a society.
Yeah, where we're at.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is selling $90 billion of arms to Saudi Arabia. We're selling that to Saudi Arabia, a $90 billion deal or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's the military-industrial complex. But how are you going to deal with it personally?
When the Saudis try to take over our country or right now?
Well, right.
I'm putting on the full headgear. I'm female. I'll comply in a heartbeat because I like wearing that thing. There was a time in my life when my anxiety led me to do that. So,
well, of course, and then I said anxiety actually makes us sick by affecting our immune system. It also clouds our thoughts. It skews our thinking because anxiety, unless handled correctly, leads to, because of our lack of immunity, bigger problems. It leads to depression. It leads to social anxiety where you don't even want to go out in public anymore.
I have to jump in here with my anxiety. I was just double checking myself. I said on the $90 billion arms deal to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump signs a $110 billion arms deal to Saudi Arabia.
Ah.
So I guess I'll order my burqa today. Okay, so I guess that's how I deal with my anxiety, right? I joke about it. What's that called? That's called Fiesta. I love the four Fs. I think that's great.
Well, I lost you there. You blanked out there. What did you say?
I said, I guess that's how I deal with my anxiety is I joke about it, but that's one of the four Fs.
Yeah.
Fiesta,
it's one of the four.
That's
the fiesta part because we laugh it off. And you mentioned earlier how, yes, half, well, let's say over half, because we already know Trump was a minority president. And it's really worse than that because more than half of the voters didn't even vote. Right? You know, so when you don't vote, that's actually a vote. Some argue that it's a vote for the status quo. Some argue that it's a vote for, I don't even want to get involved in it. You know, you're going to do whatever you're going to do anyway. Don't get me involved in it. I'm not going to take the blame. Anyway, so, but for the sake of simplicity, we'll say a little bit over half the population is anxious because they see that Donald Trump is doing these outrageous things that no real candidate would ever even dream of doing. Nobody who's wanting to get reelected would even dream of doing these things. Okay? And then the other side that voted him in, and by the way, I don't buy personally, but we won't get into it. Please, Lonnie, let's not get into it. I don't personally buy that there are actually a lot of Trump supporters out there. Unfortunately, the few that are Trump supporters are outspoken. Okay? But I do believe that, as a guesstimate, I'll say half of the people who voted for Trump didn't vote for Trump. They just voted against Hillary. They didn't want him in there, but what was the choice, right? Yeah. And so, yes, there are some outlandish things going on that are now being, you know, broadcast, that may be attributed to Trump supporters feeling empowered because now Trump is in office. Yes, I agree those things are happening. But as a Mexicano growing up in the United States, I've always seen those things happen. Just people didn't care about it because they were only happening to Mexicanos or to black people or to Asians,
right,
you know?
Right.
You know, but I'm glad that these things are being broadcast out there. It's causing a lot of anxiety. It's causing a lot of anxiety at a societal level. At this point, 200 years ago, the people would have risen up and revolted, right?
I don't know about that. I don't know if they would have risen up 200 years ago. I don't know if that. See, this is the thing. We're faced with something that people 200 years ago did not have, and that is the strongest military force. I mean, these people are relentless. And they, frankly, we're living in a culture where the whole technology, they're murdering people. Like, this is my mantra here on nuclear and on the chemical stuff. Like, people are being harmed by this, by the pharmaceutical companies. And in our country, they are opting for money over life. And that causes anxiety. Now, one of the things I can tell you that I've just recently come into, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, is the Ubuntu movement. Have you heard of this?
Ubuntu. I would have to look it up.
Ubuntu. U-B-U-N-T-U.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes,
and
I
it's
do.
Contributionism, where everybody just contributes to keep things going. I don't know how it functions, but I'm looking into it. You know what I mean? I'm ordering the book this week, but it seems like a right idea. I don't know how that works, but we're at a point where we really are going to need to do something completely different than what we've been doing, because what we've been doing hasn't worked for
the general masses. Yeah, that's true. I'm always saying everything you have done in your life has led you to the point where you are now. Are you happy? Right.
Well, don't you think that happy comes and goes? Like, I mean, I don't know about I always get that, for me, is a trigger word, because are you happy? Like, you know, things happen in your life. Like, we have the events that happen. I don't know if you can be happy but content.
You must be in a psychology major. But, yes, I agree with you. But most people don't know.
I've just had lots of therapy here, man. That's all.
But most people will shrug off what you just said. If they get past the glazed eyes, I'd look, right? Because they don't understand that we cannot be happy. We can only have temporary moments of joy, temporary moments of contentment. When you average it all out, let's hope you have more ups than downs, and then that should be okay.
But when then you get to PR, in betweens, like when you're out in your garden, when I'm in my garden, I do the same thing. I do mine in the evening. I go out and garden for about an hour, and Man, when it is such that's the one thing. This is why we like the spring, because in the wintertime, we can't get out in with the earth. It's too cold to spend an hour out there pouring, you know, your plants don't want water. I mean, it's a whole different interaction. It's a whole different relationship with the environment when in the winter and in the summertime.
Right. Well, in the winter, well, at least for most of the United States or most of the people in the northern hemisphere, you cannot garden. But you can do other things, especially if you have an indoor exercise cycle or a recumbent bike or something. You can do other things that'll get this physical need out. Now, you know, I'm looking at my own clock here, and I better cover some of the things that I wanted to cover as far as how to handle stress.
Okay, we have 13 minutes left.
Right, and I mentioned medications. Now, with medications, I'm going to cut it down to two things: pharmaceutical and physiological. I already covered physiological. You have to do something that involves moving your body, getting those hormones out, yelling, screaming, punching a pillow, something. Okay. By the way, I did have a recent encounter with my neighbor, but that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Anyway, there are more physical things that you can do. Personally, I have trouble with them because I've always been a fat guy. So yoga and these things were tough for me. I do Tai Chi, right? You can do dancing. You can do, jogging, rock climbing. God help you.
Ride your bike, actually.
Works for you. Do it.
Yeah.
Right? To me, just watching people do rock climbing is stressful for me. You know? But it works for them, and the people who do rock climbing do seem to be very healthy psychologically, except for the fact that they're climbing mountains with their fingers, and physiologically they seem to be awesome human specimens, right? People who jog, but there's still other factors that you have to deal with specifically, especially because if you jog 2 or 3 miles every day, your body can actually adapt to that and stop being a source of stress release. So you do have to have something else, and it may be spiritual. I still count it in with the physical stuff, because when you do spiritual things like meditation, it's very good for removing stress. It's still, you're doing it with your body. And of course, you're incorporating your mind into it, but you're doing it with your body. Now, the pharmaceutical way to go is vast. And why is it so vast? Because there's a lot of money in it. Okay? You can take that pill. You can smoke that joint. You can smoke a cigarette, smoke a pipe, right? You can drink alcohol. You can drink wine. You know, you're doing things that are actually altering your state of consciousness. Then you can drink teas. It's still pharmaceuticals, because it's something, I know you're going to say herbals, but herbals will still fall under the pharmaceutical thing, because what it's doing is you drink a tea and it's helping you relax. It's helping you stop thinking about what it is that is stressing you out. There are actually teas like Tulsi tea, which are adaptogens. An adaptogen is something you ingest that will make you not care about what it is you're dealing with, right? And when you don't care about it, you're no longer stressed. And basically, stress management or anxiety management is simply a distraction. You're thinking about something constantly. We call it worrying, right? You worry about something,
mm-hmm.
and there's an old philosophy that says, oh, shucks, I just lost that old philosophy.
Oh, I have one. Worry's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere.
That's good. But there's a really deep one that says something to the effect of, regardless of how it turns out, worrying about it was just a waste of time. Okay, those are that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it is. And when you think about it, that's true, because unless that worry led you to do something about it that was effective, all you did was suffer the consequences of worrying. You know, personally, I feel it in my abdomen, or what is referred to as the pit of your stomach, right? I feel the relief after I do a couple of push-ups. That's why push-ups is on my agenda of stress release. Okay, when I used to be good at doing sit-ups as well, but I have a hernia now, so I have to get away from doing sit-ups because that affects my abdomen. Right now, when it comes down to the secret to stress release or anxiety relief, is distraction. That's all it is. And it seems horribly simplified when I say it that way. Okay? If you don't like the way you feel when you think about blank, think about something else. Okay? That's why the physical aspects are so effective, because it's hard to worry about your boss when you're running up a hill. Your current goal.
That's true. You get busy with something else. You get busy about the things that you can do something about. You refocus your attention, because otherwise you just spiral. I mean, this is what I say. Your thoughts are things. Like, we can choose how we think. Like, it's not, we don't can't control the circumstances, but we can control how we respond.
Exactly. Now, what I tell my anxiety patients, or clients rather, what I ask them is, do you enjoy feeling anxious? Of course the answer is no. That's why they're seeing me, right? Then I ask them, how would you rather feel instead of feeling anxious? And ultimately the answer is that word that Lonnie disagrees with, I want to feel happy, right? And then I asked them, what do you do to make yourself feel happy? Do that instead of thinking about this. Now, remember, anxiety can be a good thing because it motivates us into action. And when I tell you stop doing whatever it is you do to make you anxious and start doing whatever you need to do to make you happy, people think, well, that's not going to make the problem go away. Okay, it's not going to make the problem go away, but you will think a lot clearer when you are happy.
Well, some people, like my niece, she felt like I had to really talk to her about this. She felt like she was betraying her son by feeling any happiness. Like, she felt like she was obligated. Like, what kind of parent would I be if I wasn't really upset about my son having the surgery? And I'm like, look, he's going to come out of it fine. He's doing it to improve his health. It's not. This is not like a harmful thing. This is going to help him. And you being anxious doesn't help him heal.
Right. Exactly. As a matter of fact,
it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite. You know, the son needs to see people around him.
Right.
Role being modeling. Positive.
Right.
Hey, hurry up and get through this ordeal you're going through, so that we can go shopping. Or whatever it is you do.
Whatever it is, yes.
Right.
But this is the thing. Like, people feel a sense of responsibility towards their guilt and towards their shame. And that's all just been drilled in, and it causes more anxiety. I mean, this is why in the intro to my show I say that happiness is resistance. Because really, we have been trained. This has just been ingrained in us. And so our response to the Trump... And frankly, it's exactly true. If Hillary Clinton had been elected, there would be other things. I mean, we wouldn't have an easy show of it now. I don't think she'd be gutting the government. There would be a lot of things we wouldn't know about, but we would have other things that would not, you know what I mean? She's not a clean slate. It's not like she was a good answer. She stole the election. I personally think that she caused, you know, like, the whole thing. Let's get off of that one, because I think, as you can tell, she causes me anxiety too. So,
okay.
Like,
do you enjoy how you feel right now? Okay. How would you rather feel? Okay, now.
I'd rather have Bernie Sanders as president, and I'd rather have not been lied to for the last 70 years about the state of how our government allows the technologists to pollute our country. We created the EPA as an organization to protect human life, and as soon as the regulations came in, the big money came in and bought out our government, and we have been sold down the river, quite literally.
Well, true. I'm tempted to continue the discussion, but that's not what I'm here today. right.
We have 3 minutes left, so
we have to deal with our personal anxiety. When you get into the politics of it, there has never been a president that actually represented the people.
But don't you think your personal anxiety has a lot to do with how you respond to the political stuff?
Yes, and of course, the political stuff has a lot to do with your level of anxiety. There has never been a worse time to be a Mexicano in the United States of America. Imagine my anxiety, right?
I think there was a worse time.
Well, there
but
was.
But not 100 for 100 years.
Yeah, 100 years ago, we were being hanged and shot and left out for the coyotes. You know, right now, I'm afraid to go out to buy groceries lest I get pulled over by a cop, determined that I don't have citizenship, which I do, but how am I going to prove it, right, when I'm in jail?
Well, don't you have your driver's license?
Driver's license is not proof of citizenship.
So you have to carry your passport with you.
Yeah, I don't even have one of those.
You better get a passport, Jose.
Well, exactly. You see, because we are now in a show-me-your-papers situation.
Yes,
but you don't have to worry.
I guarantee you I'm getting my passport.
I have a passport, actually.
My passport needs to be renewed.
Good. But in any case, I'm dealing with my anxiety. I gave a few examples of how I do it. The whole idea is I'm distracting myself. I still have to go out and buy groceries. Luckily, most of my groceries I get from my garden anyway, right? But I go out and I see clients and I see a cop and I'm thinking, oh, heck, is this the day I'm going to get deported, right? Maybe I'll tell them I'm from Spain so they can send me on a nice vacation, you know, and make them pay for it, right? But anyway, you have to deal with your anxiety in a positive manner for your own mental and physical health. When you deal with your anxiety, whichever mode you decide to go, and I suggest doing physical activity, you will think clearly, you will think more clearly, and you will be able to deal with that, with the cause of the anxiety better. You know, otherwise, we're just doing the old when in fear or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. You know, and what does that accomplish?
That's right.
you know what does that accomplish? Well, at least you're running and screaming and shouting, which are kind of dealing with your anxiety, right? You know, but unless we change the source of our anxiety, we're going to have to keep doing it over and over again. And there have always been monsters, and there will always be monsters. They're just changing these days.
Well, Jose, thank you for being with us. We have about half a minute left. I really appreciate this because I think that people can learn from this and maybe, I don't know, take action, get active, and that will help them. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Thank you for joining us. And we'll talk with you soon. Take care.
This is Ozzy Skateboard.